In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Let's continue our commentaries on St. James' epistle. We reached verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now there is a big difference between the word trial and the word temptation. You know, in the Arabic language, they may have the same word, tagruba. But in English and also in the Greek language, it has different meaning. The trial is, you know, the hard time coming from the hands of God for our salvation. But the temptation is not a gift of God. The temptation is from the hands of the devil in order to tempt God's people, to push them to be deviated, to go outside the way of God. So, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So, you need to discern between the trials, the sufferings from the hand of God, and doing sin, all temptation coming from the hands of evil. So when you discern, you can see clearly this is from God and this is not from God. God does not love evil, and he wants you to be pure, to be man of God. So any kind of temptation you should fight, you should endure, you should step away. But in trials you will enjoy, you will accept it with joy, because you know that's part of your salvation. So blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. So it's very clear, given by St. James, that temptation is not given from God. When anyone do sin, you know, he cannot say, God pushed me this way, because God will never push anyone to the wrong way. God is always pushing us to his way. But you know, he cannot just push him. You have your free will to choose what's right and what's wrong. So temptation is not given from God. Again, you know, God allows this because it tests your will. It tests your faith. It tests your love. But again, with your free will, you choose to do the right or the wrong thing. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. God himself is always good, so there is no evil in God. God is not tempted by evil. That's why he cannot even use evil or make use of evil to tempt anyone. This is not God. God is good. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. So it's very clear that temptation is not from God. Because some people, when they make sinful acts, they think, I have nothing to do, it's God's will. God pushed me this way. God opened the door for me. No, actually, your way, you choose yourself to do something against God's will. I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. So when you are tempted, just confess, admit that you are tempted because you were drawn by your desires. You desired the bad thing. That's why you were drawn this way. But God is not there. God's will was different. When he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So, you know, again, he simplifies things. So the continuation of the sinful act, it started by a desire, and this desire gives birth to sin. And again, sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So like three steps, you desire bad thing, and then you do the sin, and if you continue in this sinful life, you will end up with death. And this whole way is not God's will. It's against God's will. God's will is the salvation of everyone, the pure life of everyone, the goodness for everyone. So do not say that God tempted me or God pushed me the bad way. Again, we differentiate between the trial given by God, the suffering. Some people may say that this is evil. Actually, this is not evil. The suffering, the pains are not evil, but the sins are evil. We can consider the trials gift of God because it pushes us the way of God. But sins cannot be considered gifts of God because this is against His will. Do not be deceived. So, you know, he mentioned this, you know, perception of trial and temptation differently as kind of do not be deceived. My beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So whatever good is from God, but whatever bad is not from His hand. It's our choice. It's devil's advice. And you know, again, it's our free will. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. The Father of lights, one of the names of our Father God, because the Father of lights means that everything is good. He is only doing the good things for everyone. With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There is no variation, meaning that there is no bad thing, there is no negative thing, always positive, always good. And there is no shadow of turning. Never think that God will turn differently and be bad at some time. No, He's always good and He stay always good. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So, again, God's will is to make us His offspring. We are children of God. We should be as good as Him. We should live His pure life given by the Lord Himself. So, of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. He gave us the new birth with the power of the word. Through the sacrament of baptism, we start to live a new life with the Holy Spirit given in our hearts. And this new life is far away from a sinful life, is very different from the life of temptations, desires, sins, and death. It's the life of purity, the life of goodness, and the life forever with the Holy Spirit, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So now he's starting to tell us what exactly should we do in order to, you know, endure the trials and also face the temptations. We need to hear, we need to listen to the word of God. We need to understand the will of God. We need to think. We need to go deeper in our heart to follow Christ's steps. Then, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Because when we speak a lot, you know, usually we do many mistakes. But when we are slow in speech, we can control our tongues. We can think before speaking. This way we will not do many mistakes. And also when you hear more, when you listen more, you understand and get the wisdom of God. In this way, you may not complain but praise God. You may not advise people in a bad way but advise them in the good way. So when you are slow to speak and swift to hear, you will be also slow to wrath. Because this wrath is a sin. And with the control of mind and control of speech, actually we will not be angry at people and we will be meek like Christ. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So if you like to be as righteous as God, if you like to be Christ-like, you should avoid this wrath which stands against the will of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with the meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. So he's telling us what to do. And again, look to St. James, after he mentioned the two major points of trials and temptations, and he made it clear that trials from the hands of God and temptations not from the hand of God, in this case we can accept it happily and pray, asking for wisdom, stay humble. This case we should fight the sin and control our desires. Then he is now telling us how to behave, how to listen carefully, how to speak in a good way, how to be, you know, self-controlled, expressing our anger, feelings, and then lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Again, St. James always simplifying things with the examples he gives. Exactly like the Lord was telling us the many parables and many examples. So the word implanted. So again, the word of God is like seed. And when you seed the word of God, this means that you are not just reading the Bible, but you think of it, you memorize the verse, you pray with the word of God, you think frequently of the meaning, so the word is implanted in your heart. This way you can, you know, bring fruits. So again he's saying, receive with meekness. Some people may accept the word of God with no meekness. They think that this word of God may not be right. And they look from above, you know. You know the word understanding? We should put the word of God standing above our mind. So we are understanding them. But some people with their pride may look down to the word of God as if they, you know, they are not convinced with the word of God. But with submission, with obedience to the word of God, you are meek enough to follow the word of God, to, you know, put your mind under the word of God. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. In order to change your mind, in order to save your heart, to save your soul, you need this kind of implantation, this seeding, this farming issue. So we need to read the Bible carefully. We need to think of the word of God. We need to ask ourselves if we follow these words in our behavior. We need to change our mind concerning the trials and the temptations. So with the understanding, with the depth and meaning, with the prayer, with the word of God, now the word of God will work in our heart. And the word of God is living, full of power, and can change any mind, and can change the behavior of everyone if they follow them. But be doers of the word. Again, there is an important point here. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Sometimes we tend to hear sermons, we are happy listening to some words of the Bible, but we are not going to do, we are not ready to change our behavior, which is very wrong. Because, you know, we may feel that we know everything, but knowledge by itself will never give you the eternal life. It's the different life, the new life, the holy life. In order to change your pattern, attitude, lifestyle, you need to do the word, not only hear the word. And do not deceive yourself. Not how many verses you know or how many books you read will give you the eternity. But you know how many commandments you follow. How much alike you are like Christ. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. again another example, which is the mirror. So the word of God is like a mirror. When I read the word of God, I'm just like, you know, seeing myself in the mirror. When I see myself, I can see what's inside my heart, what I'm looking like, because I may not see myself. I'm busy seeing people, looking outside myself. But when I see myself in the mirror, in the book of God, actually I can help myself to change. So he's telling us a very good example. All times when you read the Bible, please look carefully. Now you can see what's wrong inside your heart, what is needed very much to change in your behavior. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So he's telling us that if you just read and forget all what you had read, you know, you are just like a man who so observed his face in the mirror, and he saw many things, he should work on them and just forget everything. So you will look to this man as insane. But you respect the man who, when after observing his face in the mirror, he changed things. You should do this. He observes himself, goes away immediately, forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. So he called the word of God, the word of Christ, the new teaching of the New Testament, perfect law of liberty. Because, you know, let me tell you that the law of Moses, the law given in the Old Testament, we cannot say that it was perfect. Not because the lawgiver was not perfect, definitely no. The lawgiver is God and God is perfect. But you know, people cannot take the perfect law at that time, could not. But nowadays, after we saw the perfect model, the perfect man, God incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ, so we were given the perfect law of liberty. God in the Old Testament gave his people the commandment, do not kill anyone. But he added in the New Testament, do not be angry at anyone. So this, you know, addition, this completion, this perfect law was given in the New Testament because Christ himself became man, because he is the role model now, because there is the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit helping us to live a holy life, a complete, a perfect life. So St. James saying that he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So you will take the blessing, you will be blessed, you will be crowned because you follow the word of God, you are not just a hearer but a doer, and you care to do all the commandments given by God himself. Glory to God.